Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Griping about bank fees.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Banks and fees go together like peanut butter and jelly, but that doesn't mean we can't complain about them. Today, Congress takes up the issue of overdraft fees. Even if you withdraw $1 more than you have in your account, you'll usually get charged about $35. More now from Jeremy Hobson.
Those fees can be very lucrative for banks, says Eric Halperin with the Center for Responsible Lending.
Consumers are paying billions of dollars in overdraft fees for programs they never signed up for and for loans they don't want.
He says research shows the vast majority of consumers would rather be denied funds than pay a fee for money they don't have. But Nessa Fettes with the American Bankers Association says the responsibility lies with the consumer.
People have different way of managing their time and their money. They're aware of the fees and they're able to avoid them.
Lawmakers will hear from both sides today as they consider legislation that would give consumers notice before they're charged overdraft fees. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Wall Street hit the skids yesterday for the first time this summer. The major indexes all fell more than 1%. The Dow dropped 148 points to 13,501. The Nasdaq lost 30 to 2639. The S&P 500 was down 21 to 1510. In Asia today, Japan's Nikkei gave back more than 1%, and European stocks lost value right off the bat. It's not just stocks taking a beating. The dollar hit a record low against the euro today. $1.37 gets you 1 euro. Analysts are predicting things will only get worse for the dollar. Joining us from London, our European correspondent Stephen Beard. Stephen, what's causing this latest drop for the U.S. currency?
The trigger was undoubtedly Standard & Poor's announcement that it may downgrade $12 billion worth of subprime mortgage debt. I mean, the signal this sends to the markets is that there could be a credit crunch in the U.S.
But what does that have to do with the dollar?
Well, it kind of reinforces the perception that the Fed might have to lower U.S. interest rates to spur growth, and that at a time when interest rates in Europe are rising.
And higher interest rates help a currency, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if international investors feel that one currency, let's say the euro, is in time going to be yielding a higher rate of return than the dollar, that's where they'll want to put their money. Now, at the moment, the euro is paying only 4% compared with 5.25% in the U.S. But the expectation is that perhaps because of a credit crunch in the U.S., because of economic weakness in the U.S., that eurozone interest rates will rise much higher than American interest rates, and therefore the euro will be more attractive as an investment.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, any signs we're seeing of how this is affecting trade between Europe and the U.S. or tourism between the two?
Not as yet, but these things do take time to sink in. But clearly, we're now heading into the territory where 1 euro will buy $1.40. It seems inevitable that this is going to deter quite a few, I would have thought, of those 3 million or so American visitors that cross the Atlantic every year to vacation in Europe.
All right, Stephen Beard in London, thanks.
Okay, Scott.
China's trying to salvage whatever reputation it has left as a safe exporter of food and drugs. Today, the country's Food and Drug Agency announced a new set of rules. Among the regulations, starting in September, all food exported from China will have an inspection and quarantine symbol to guarantee safety.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org. By the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Mended Hearts to provide online and hospital support to newly diagnosed heart disease patients. You can learn more at mendedhearts.org. And by the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry. delivering 10 billion riders annually, and working for an energy-independent America. PublicTransportation.org.
The possibility that New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg might run for president has Washington abuzz. Bloomberg has $5 billion. And that's a problem, says commentator David Frum.
$5 billion can hire the best consultants Washington has to offer, put you on the ballot in 50 states, flood the airwaves with ads. And, even if you're extravagant, you could still have maybe $4.8 billion left over. Much of our media express rising concern about the growth of an American plutocracy. People rich enough to buy anything, from a private jumbo jet to a favorable environmental ruling. But here's what I don't get. When a plutocrat seeks to buy political office, the unease goes silent. There have always been rich people in American politics. But over the past decade, the parties have taken to recruiting candidates almost solely because of their wealth. Ned Lamont in Connecticut, Jim Peterson in Arizona in the last cycle come to mind. Yet the ascendancy of the Pluto candidate is not a fact of nature. It's inspired by America's campaign finance laws that make it very difficult for the non-wealthy to raise money. The presidential candidates will spend as much as $200 million to win their party nominations and fight the general election. That implies raising more than $250,000 every day for 2 years, including Sundays, in increments of not more than $2,300. A nightmare. It doesn't have to be this way. Suppose we had an individual donor limit of $100,000. Candidates, and especially candidates for Congress, could do their fundraising quickly and then get back to the more important work of seeking votes. Candidates feel beholden to big donors as it is. Raise the limit, and paradoxically, the influence of money could diminish because candidates would no longer have to spend every waking moment thinking about it. And Mayor Mike might decide that his millions could best be spent on philanthropy to help the needy, rather than a vanity project to serve his ego. That's a win-win, I'd say.
David Frum is resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.